Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
True Hauntings is a frightfully good production.
Once upon a time, there was an old pub in Glastonbury called the George and Pilgrim. It was a popular stop for travellers, but it was said that on nights when the fog rolled in, strange things happened. People would hear strange noises creeping out of the pub, moans and howls, like something was waiting to come out. Others would vanish without a trace, never to be seen again.
No one knew what secret lurked behind the walls of the George and Pilgrim, but everyone was sure it was something sinister. Common wisdom was to stay clear of the place at all costs. In a town known for ghosts and the supernatural and dubbed the occult capital of England, this pub is thought to be one of the most haunted buildings in town. And what went on at the George and Pilgrim still goes on today. Visitors still report seeing spectral figures visiting them during their night's sleep. Hi, I'm Renata.
And I'm Anne. And in this episode of the True Hauntings podcast, let's wander inside the George and Pilgrim, pull up a chair at the bar, grab a bite to eat and a local cider, as we listen to the ghost stories that may make you reconsider staying the night.
Anne and Renata have been investigating paranormal occurrences for the past 20 years. They have been at the center of various unexplained phenomena and have witnessed countless ghostly experiences. The duo now turn to high-profile cases that have attracted the eyes of the world. Between the dimensions we see and the dimensions we don't, supernatural forces are at play. Evil lurks within the shadows of our homes and in the darkest corners of our minds. It follows us like a shadow. Forever. This is where nightmares become reality. This is True Hauntings.
Definitely haunted. Review of George and Pilgrim's Hotel. Well, it was 2 years ago and we stayed here, but the details are very fresh in my mind because of the strangeness of the experience. As soon as I saw the George and Pilgrim from the bus, I wanted to stay there. It looks so amazing with its ancient architecture. We had a cursory look at other places to stay in Glastonbury, but the choices are very limited, even when you are prepared to pay more than budget prices. So the George and Pilgrim had a room available. It had a name, the Abbott something or other room. It was an okay size with an attached bathroom. I thought it was clean, and a plus was it had a tea maker with bickies. The furniture was circa 1920s. The floor was uneven. We had a tiny mullioned window. The problem was it was freezing. This was in damp October. The room had a radiator, but it wasn't working. So at night, we went to bed early, not to snuggle, because the beds were single. There was no double availability, unfortunately. At least it wasn't our honeymoon. Well, there was something in that room, a spirit of sort. We were there 3 nights. On the first night, I opened my eyes in the dark to see a blue circle of light. The other nights, there was a strong sense of not being alone. My husband, who sometimes seems to be the most unimaginative and practical man on the planet, did not object when I said, "Let's keep the bathroom light on all night so that the room wasn't pitch black." We travel a lot, all over the world. I've never wanted to keep a light on ever, except here, where it seemed imperative that we did. I took a photo in that room of my husband. Well, it also had a strange blob of light that wasn't there when I took the photo with a perfectly good camera, so all in all, it was an experience. The breakfast was not great, served by a wench who would rather be joking with good-looking laddies, no doubt, judging by the enthusiasm which we were served. Still, we went to Glastonbury, or I did anyway, for the strange and mystical and the Georgian pilgrim, had those qualities as much as the Tor or the Abbey. I'm quite sure the medieval pilgrims had very uncomfortable journeys, so in that way the Georgian pilgrim remains an authentic pilgrim hotel.
Welcome back to the studio, Anne.
Oh, thank you, Renata. I'm all refreshed and relaxed after a lovely cruise.
Yeah, good for you.
Except I've got a bellyache because I just ate crap the whole time. I didn't stick to my good eating plan, and I am sitting here now with a bloated belly going, ugh.
Oh, but you were on a cruise.
We were on a cruise.
I saw all of that mock cream. I would have done the same thing.
Well, you made me take photos of all the dessert bars and send them to you.
Of course.
And we have a thing for mock cream.
I lived vicariously through your voyage.
Yeah, I had to eat more just for you, you know.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. But we are going to Glastonbury in this episode. And Glastonbury,
yes,
as you know, is my holy home of homes. Whenever I get very, very close to Glastonbury, I start to scream loudly in the car.
You do. I can attest to that.
Coming home!
You see that Tor, the T-O-R, yes, off in the distance,
yeah,
and you just start to
I'm off. I'm so close. Oh, look, it's the only place in the world that I know of that you can go and do your grocery shopping, and there is a wizard putting, literally, a dressed wizard,
yep,
putting, his yogurt.
Putting his zucchini in his basket.
His eggplant in his basket.
That's right, the eggplant. Some kiwi fruit.
Yes, which we encountered when we were there. I've been to Glastonbury 3 times.
I
would go happily every year to go back.
We didn't go last year, and you were quite distraught. So I said to you, we will make sure we do it this year.
Yes. Yeah. Now, why do we love Glastonbury? For so many reasons. Some of those reasons you will find out in this episode. But we are focusing on the Georgian Pilgrim, although it is not the only haunted place in Glastonbury. And when we go back in March, we will promise more.
They'll be listening to this in April, so we will have been there and done that.
Oh, well, we're back now. So we promise to, if you're following us while we are over there, or if you did follow us while we were over there, if you didn't, you can go back
in
and
other words,
check it out now.
I hope you watch us on YouTube.
Yes. You will see some more of the most haunted places of Glastonbury and all the other places that we visit while we are over there. Now, where is Glastonbury? It is a town in Somerset, England, and Somerset is known for its beauty, natural beauty. Now, if you look at the map of England, it is in the southwest corner, right down the bottom, and it's about a 3-hour drive from London. Now, most of you or many of you may know Glastonbury because of the music festival that is held there, and one of the local farmers allows the land there to be absolutely ruined and gutted by thousands of people coming in with their gumboots on, and
their wellies
and their tents.
I didn't say willies, I said wellies.
And everything and setting up, and
it's a big loving.
Yeah, it is. It's massive, and it's been going for many, many years. So people know about Glastonbury from the music festival. But there are so many other things there. It has a great spiritual and mythical significance. And Glastonbury has long been associated with the mythical Isle of Avalon. and linked to the legend of King Arthur and the Holy Grail. And as you mentioned, there is this tor, this like gateway, it looks like, on a very prominent hill with the ruins of St. Michael's Tower. And it adds to the town's mystical allure. But people don't know that Glastonbury was once an island.
Was it?
Yeah, it was flooded all around.
Oh, wow.
And that's why some of this mythology has been built around the area, because you would have this tor and other peaks sticking out of the water. And, of course, the other part of the tale is associated with the abbey that is there, which I will mention in sort of the historical bits of my story, because there is a little bit of significance there.
And I just have to say, I have never gone to the tor. I think you've actually been there four times, because I think you went once with your other travel buddy and three times with me.
Oh, four times.
Yes. But I have never been to the tor. I've never made that climb, because you just told me how horrendous it was, and I thought, I don't need that experience in my life, that trauma. And I still haven't got to the abbey.
Oh, and the we will go to the abbey this time, because we are not going alone.
Yeah, yes.
And you will want to see it. And speaking of the abbey, it is a medieval monastery. It is literally just on the main area, in the main area.
It's across the road from where we're staying,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yep. It's in the main area of Glastonbury, or the shopping area. And it is believed to be the burial place of King Arthur and Queen Guinevere. And there's a whole story attached to that as well. And there is also the Chalice Well and Gardens, which is a natural spring. And it is also connected to the Arthurian legends. And so if you're a huge King Arthur fan and the legends of the Round Table and Avalon itself, Glastonbury is one of those places where it sort of reignites the imagination for all of that sort of stuff.
And they talk about the Chalice Well.
Yeah.
Is it's stains everything red.
Yes.
And they're talking about it's the blood of Christ.
Yes, so it's the male energy. Right. And of course the white well is the female energy.
Bloody white well. It better be open this time. I got there once and it was one of the most magical experiences I'd ever had. And then the next two times it was shut.
Yes.
I was dirty.
Well, if we lived there, Anne, as I suggested.
Well, we sell my dad's house.
We would go over open up that well.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway. It's also known for its alternative culture and New Age community. And yes. You are a New Agey, hippie, crystal-wearing, tarot-reading, witchy-poo type of person. It is Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find many, many things to do and lots of things to buy.
The bookstores. Oh my God, our bags get loaded up there. It's so bad.
It is terrible.
And they've got second-hand books and rare books and,
Look, even the thrift shops are amazing.
The thrift shops are awesome.
Because everyone's getting rid of all of their stuff.
Yeah.
Which is the stuff that we want. Anyway, Somerset is beautiful in itself. There are many places to walk and meander through forests and orchards. There are walking trails. There's even a fellow that does a tour all about the trees. And you can learn
a tour rather than a tour.
A tour all about the trees, and you can hug the trees and learn all about them.
But they have workshops and readers, and we did that awesome workshop with that lady. I can't remember what it was now, but we were just like in awe.
Yep. Yeah. And they have the famous Glastonbury thorn, which is a type of hawthorn that was apparently. Planted by Joseph of Arimathea. So we're going back to...
Was he a bit of a prick?
No.
Because of the thorn?
No.
Okay.
It was planted by Joseph of Arimathea, and he's a biblical figure.
That's not Daddy Joseph to baby Jesus.
It could have been. They do think that Jesus may have spent some time there as well.
Oh,
in study.
Geez, he came all the way over from
absolutely
wherever it was.
Yeah. Now the thorn is said to have miraculous properties. There is one there on a hill. I think it's called Wirral Hill. probably got that all wrong. There's also another thorn that sits in front of one of the churches there, and it does have miraculous properties, and traditionally it blooms around Christmas. And they did say that it bloomed in spring one time as well. So, we might see if we can see it.
We're there for the first week of spring.
Take a bit of it.
Not taking a bit of it. Oh, my God. Australian Customs, I am not taking a bit of it, but please feel free to search Renata. God.
Oh. Now, in all of this, in the capital, in the occult capital of England, supernatural and occult capital of England, on the high street stands the George and Pilgrim Hotel.
Oh, that's right. We're talking about that, aren't we?
Yes. Built in around 1475, and it was built to house some of the pilgrims that were coming to the abbey. Now, the abbey there, which is literally a hop, skip and a jump away, was, if you can believe, the second most important place in Christianity, next to Rome and the Vatican.
Wow.
Yeah, at that stage. And it was the biggest abbey.
Yeah.
A lot of pilgrims were coming through.
Oh, she's waving her arms around to show me just how big it was.
A lot of pilgrims were coming through to, connect with all of that mythology that was there. And, of course, they had to have somewhere to stay. And there was room in the abbey and on the grounds for some of the pilgrims, but there was a flow over, of course.
Oh, an overflow even.
And so the Georgian pilgrim,
yep,
was one of the places, of course, that they stayed. Of course, it was first called the George, mm-hmm. and because it was a place where pilgrims stayed.
Somebody came up with a really bright idea of an ingenious name.
Yes.
Yeah. The George and
Pilgrim. Yeah. So it was the wealthiest abbey in the country.
Who were they coming? What was the pilgrimage for? Was
after it Westminster Abbey?
Was it for King Arthur or was it for Joseph?
Who knows? I don't know. I didn't get that far.
Interesting.
Mm.
Well, that killed the conversation, didn't it?
You know those English? They wandered through woods and things, and
just
all
ask
the time.
Chaucer. I hear he tells a good tale.
So those pilgrims that were classified as elite or may have had some standing in the society would have probably been accommodated in the abbey itself.
It's a plane going overhead very low.
Yeah, it was also known that
a helicopter.
The other pilgrims stayed wherever they could. Now, there was also an apartment erected for a visit by King Henry II, and this was before all of the abbeys and everything were demolished. But he apparently came there.
Oh, I bet he did. Often. I may have just broken her again. Oh, we haven't had a good wheeze for a while. Yay! Oh, we had a whoop.
Now, if you look at the Georgian Pilgrim, there are two buildings who have this huge stone facade. So there's the Tribunal Building and the Georgian Pilgrim, and they look very, very different than anything else.
The Tribunal Building freaks me out more than the George.
Yeah, And inside, I have to say that it's really like stepping back into medieval England.
Mm-hmm. Everything's uneven and there's polished wood everywhere, yes, and old stone staircases, yeah, and that cellar. I wish we could have gone down in the cellar. We have eaten there.
I have written an email and I have asked if we can
do
an investigation.
Oh, bless you. I bet they say no.
Yeah, I bet they do too. So the frontage of the Georgian Pilgrim is imposing and ornate. And yes, it is. It's a statement in stone and glass and built in the fashion of the late 15th century. It's three stories high with a battlemented parapet. And if you ask me what that is...
What is that, Renata?
Oh, fancy.
A battlement parapet.
A a battlemented parapet. It's defensive architecture, such as in city walls and castles, and it comprises of a parapet, a defensive low wall between chest height and head height, in which gaps or indentations, often rectangular, occur at intervals to allow the launch of arrows and other projectiles from within the defences.
Woohoo! I've learnt something amazing. What was the other one we learnt about?
So they could go up there and fight.
What was the other ones we learnt about with the mounds? Remember, they sort of formed a mound and put the castle on top of it. I can't remember the word for it now.
Oh.
But we were very excited because we got over to some of the places. We went, oh, that's one of them. We know what that is.
Yes.
Sorry.
So the first floor is higher than the other two floors. The left-hand side is dominated by this three-story bay with beautiful stained glass. And you've got to go sit there when you're having your drink, your ale. It is beautiful. There are archways going through the building and lots of mouldings that, you know, are very, very intricate. Situated over the entrance arch, there are three framed panels, which include the arms of the abbey and Edward IV. And Edward IV reigned between 1461 and 1470. And 1471 and 1483. So it's kind of this place where you go, okay, I can date this building because this is sitting there.
Yeah. You know, they said that there was one built there in the 1100s, but it burnt down and they built this one on top of it.
Ah, right.
And that would have dated it back to the ancient Ram Inn.
Ah, interesting. At the time that this inn was built, the civil conflict between known as the War of the Roses, 1455 to 1487.
Was that the battle between the petals and the pricks? No?
For control of the English throne was occurring. And this interrupted a lot of the pilgrimages that were happening in England.
Oh, how dare they interrupt a pilgrimage?
Absolutely. But because Glastonbury Abbey was so big and they did build an inn and it was in the location that it was, it still sort of allowed the pilgrimages to occur. And so I assume that there would have been a huge influx of pilgrims that couldn't get away anywhere else. It was like, where can we have a holiday? We can go to Glastonbury Inn. Okay, that's fine. Let's all go. Now, after the dissolution of the monasteries, the property went to the Duke of Somerset. Now, by 1561, there was a 21-year lease on the building, and that was taken out by George Cowdrey. And it was described as such a great ruin that it is likely that in default of repair within a few years, the rent will not be answered, but included six feather beds.
Grandma's feather bed.
So in other words, it was such a mess that in a few more years, they could not be renting out the rooms.
Wow.
In 1658, the property was divided and a horse mill installed to grind malt on the property.
Oh, they could make their own grog.
The building was also used for meetings and inquiries, for example, by royal commissioners in 1672 and the Quakers in 1691.
Ooh.
Those Quakers got everywhere. Oh. Now, do you know that the place has tunnels?
I did read something. What is it with us and tunnels?
I know. Apparently there are four different types of tunnels under Glastonbury. Now, apparently the Georgian Pilgrim is linked to the Abbey by a tunnel, which is now blocked up.
Aren't they?
20 feet in. And the remains of it can be seen in the cellar on the southern side.
Oh.
The cellar. Oh, I so want to get in there. Now, I did read a little bit about the tunnels, so I'm just going to read this
for you.
Like many abbeys and cathedrals, Glastonbury Abbey has several tunnel legends associated with it. These were investigated by F. Bly Bond over 60 years ago, but little research has been carried out. There are four tunnel legends attached to the abbey, three of which are partially verified. The first legend is of a tunnel from the Pilgrim's Inn, now the George, or as we know it, George and Pilgrim, to a point within the abbey walls. As the inn was built around 1470 in the time of Edward IV by Abbot Selwood, the tunnel would have been used for secret access to the abbey by pilgrims staying in the inn.
And I've got some stories about that.
Or, as we would better think, the pilgrims went over for a piss-up.
For a sneaky back passage.
And then and then they'd come back as if to go, oh, we were never gone.
No, we were never gone. We've just been worshipping at the altar of the spirit.
Yes, the tunnel discovered by Bligh Bond starts from the south of the cellar under the High Street and is clear for 20 feet southward until about the centre of the road, where it is then blocked by a brick sewer. How dare they?
Oh, they put a sewer there?
It is assumed that it then continues to the Abbot's Gateway, where there was a porter's lodge, but this again has not been verified. Mrs. Bilborough, in her diary May 21st, 1918, and quoted by Mr. Alan Fee's Rooms of Mystery and Romance.
Oh, what? I love that.
Described a trip into the tunnel. This is what she said. Off we started in our underground journey down a flight of fearfully steep steps. Dark and damp and slippery.
Oh, I've known about those passages.
We groped.
Oh, yes, see what I mean?
Our way.
You get dirty fingernails too.
To where the far-famed passage was. Which had a great stone step at the entrance.
And it had an odour.
And was only 3 feet in height. So that those who used it must have crawled on their knees.
Not the size that
matters. Resting at intervals where ledges are cut on the sides for that purpose. Fancy going for a quarter of a mile like that, when even a few feet of it made my back ache and my limbs quiver all over from the unnatural strained position.
This is getting worse.
That's it. The Underground Tunnels of Glastonbury by Anne Pennick.
Oh, I like her.
I know. Now, before I talk about the last abbot at Glastonbury.
Yes.
Abbey. I did read that there was a team called K&M Paranormal who have done some investigations at the Georgian Pilgrim, and they said that they have tried to communicate with over 30 spirits.
Oh, they're special.
They reckon there are 30 spirits there.
They are very special people.
Well, I guess we will see. Mm. I guess we will see. Now, I'm just going to go back.
No pressure on me. I've got to come up with 30 different spirits now.
Yes.
Gin, vodka.
Of course, because the Georgian Pilgrim was so associated with the abbey, I wanted to know a little bit about whether there were any particular stories about any of the pilgrims or abbots.
Mm-hmm.
And I did find a little story about the last abbot at Glastonbury. And he unfortunately met his death on September in 1539.
Oh, so it wasn't last week that they had the last one there?
No. And he was taken atop Glastonbury Tor, gutted, drawn and quartered.
Okay, so what did he do wrong that he had that done to him?
At that point, the Pilgrim's Inn went to the first Duke of Somerset, Edward Seymour, and then later, in a state of ruin, it reverted to the property of the king, as we mentioned before.
That's very British.
The last abbot was Richard Whiting, and he was educated there, and then he moved to Cambridge, and he got a doctor's degree. He was ordained as a deacon and priest before returning to Glastonbury Abbey as chamberlain. Richard Whiting was known as a good man, a thoughtful and kind brother who, following the death of the previous abbot, went when the monks were unable to decide amongst themselves who to select. He was selected by Cardinal Wolsey to take over. He then prospered. With the local community thriving under his guidance, but of course, when the dissolution of the monasteries, the dissolution of the monasteries.
I think the first one was right, yeah.
King Henry VIII's men came to investigate the abbey, and of course, they found that they had lots of stuff there that they wanted.
Stuff? Yeah. Oh, is it as good as the stuff on Timu?
So they kind of wrote a letter and went, oh, we need this stuff. We need to get all of those people out of there. So Abbot Whiting and all 51 monks signed a letter to the Pope
There's a lot of people that listen to that won't get that reference. It's when a tape recorder used to be rewound. We're old. We know what they sound like.
The thing was that they wanted to save the abbey. And yes. So they got together and they signed a letter to the Pope to say they are now going to distance themselves from Rome. And this was like this was like the last sort of bastion of hope that if we pull away from Rome and Christianity, they will allow the abbey to survive.
I'm really worried now. Where are we going?
But at that point, they kind of said, well, let me tell you, the king's men inevitably returned in 1539 to ransack the abbey and arrest the abbot. Now an elderly gentleman in his 80s, Abbot Whiting, was taken to the Tower of London to be interrogated by Thomas Cromwell. Despite Cromwell being a meticulous record keeper, there's no evidence of any interrogation or charges that were laid. Cromwell's handwritten remembrance merely states that the Abbot of Glastonbury was to be tried and executed for treason.
Oh, okay. Now, he didn't do as he was told, in other words.
Now, Abbot Whiting was condemned to death. He was transported back to Wells, where there was a mock trial that found him guilty. And,
good markets in Wells.
Sadly, then on a cold and dark November day, Abbot Whiting and two brothers, Roger James and John Thorne, were brutally murdered. Oh. They were fastened upon hurdles, then dragged through the streets of Glastonbury to the Tor by horses and up. Oh, that would have been horrible going up that hill. And that's where they were hung, drawn and quartered. So there may be some residual energy up there.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
From the abbot.
We'll send Lisa and Barb up to find out. Here's a digital recorder and a K2. Off you go. Let us know if there's any ghosts up there, will you?
There is not much left of the abbey. There is the abbot's kitchen that is sort of in really good standing. It's interesting to go in there considering that you're going into something that, is from kind of the 16th century.
Yeah.
But it's
500 years old.
Yeah, it's still an amazing place. When you stand there on the grass and look forward to the side and back and realise how huge this place was, it is, gobsmacking. And then, of course, you've got the Georgian Pilgrim. But I want to listen to the ghosts that you have found. Did you how many of the 30 did you find?
I don't know. I didn't count them up. I didn't realise there was pressure to come up with a number.
Well, I had a look to see whether and I saw a lot of the stories, but I was wondering whether anybody had investigated there and whether they'd written anything about it, and it's very little.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So go ahead and tell me about the ghosties.
Ooh.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Well, I actually had a really fabulous time finding all the ghost stories on this one. And as you were saying, there really hasn't been much in the way of paranormal investigation reports that have been done really well that I could find, but I certainly found some stories and some very interesting ones at that. You know, we had the tunnel that came up a few times. There is a photo. I found this article from Gothic Horror Stories, and they were talking about a photo that turned up in the newspapers, and I've actually got that photo, and I'll try to remember to put it up. This is where Renata listens to the podcast and goes, "And you promised to put that up," and then I very quickly go and put it online. But there is this very interesting photo, which I'm just going to show you now, Renata. So I've just popped it up on my computer there, and these two lovely lads that are sitting in the windowsill, you know, cheersing with their glasses, and there's a table off to the left of them where there's the back of somebody who's sitting down. And at the back of the person that's sitting down, there is this... Now, it's not an orb.
Mm-mm.
No, it's not an orb. It's a shaft of light that very much looks like a face in it.
And it's contained, so we can't see the top of it. We can see a little bit of the bottom as though it's going down to the ground. It doesn't have enough space so that it is someone's movement. You know how someone could be moving?
Yeah, and like nothing else in the photo is out of focus. It's quite reasonably in focus. I've zoomed in quite a bit there. Yeah. But that is interesting. The only thing I can say is that there is at the top right-hand side of that photo, not right-hand, top of the top photo, but on the right-hand side, there is some sort of light source there that could be bouncing off something. But the face in the middle of it, it's good pareidolia, that one.
Yeah.
So yeah. I thought that was quite an interesting photo, and we'll put it up there. And I'd like to hear all your thoughts on that too.
Mm.
But they are calling this the resident lady in white.
Mm.
Yep. They're calling her the medieval photo bomber. I don't necessarily make out that it is male or female, no, so maybe we should be they, them. I don't think they should be assuming.
To me, it's an energetic form, but what it is, I don't know.
Yeah. So some believe that the woman fell in love with one of the monks from the abbey, as you do.
As they were crawling through that tunnel.
That's right. And at one time, the tunnel that ran from the pilgrim to the abbey was used by these two lovers for their
trysts.
Their trysts. Yes. Until they were found out, and then the poor old monk, having betrayed his vows, was walled up in the cellar and left to die.
That's a bit harsh.
That's a bit harsh. For a wandering willy, that's a bit harsh.
You would have gone, go away.
Yeah.
And
now you're
don't
no
come
longer
back.
A monk.
Yeah,
that
you're
that
not
should
a monk.
Do it.
That's it.
But I found many versions of this particular story. Another fancy that. Another tale finds the monk keeps his vows and that they these two still loved each other very, very much, but it was unrequited.
Oh,
and that they continue to walk the hallways of the Pilgrim and George as they're just spending their time together, or they're searching for their long lost love. Oh dear. I mean, it sounds a little bit Abelard and Eloise to me, if you've ever knew that story. Now, what else have we got? Apparently, there's lots of Randy Monk stories, according to this article.
Strange.
And then they talk about another tunnel, although there is no evidence of it now, which ran from the Pilgrim to the Abbot's chambers directly, where he would make nighttime visits for the purging of his loins, as they said here. I'm just quoting.
Really?
The purging of his loins.
Jeez, they were busy digging those holes. Gee. That's a long way. I'm sorry. Abbott but was, back in then, in those days, in them days.
Well, I mean, at least you could get, you know, just go, oi, I want a glass of beer, and somebody bring it up. And yeah. Anyway, we have... I mean, the hotel itself is quite creepy. You walk in, it's very dark, and they've got suits of armour, and it's very narrow, wonky corridors, mm-hmm. and
yep.
that gorgeous stone staircase, again, for little feet. Bloody England with their little feet. Now, they have had reports from guests of harp music that's been coming from rooms that are empty, coughing, mm-hmm. and footsteps heard in the cellar. There are television sets that keep turning on and off in the middle of the night. I think when these things were around, these sorts of TVs and the remotes, it's where the remotes could operate on any TV of that model. Uh-huh. So if they've all bought the same TV, then, you know, it just points it the wrong way. You could have that TV turn on or off because someone else is using the remote. Anyway, that's just my thought. There's another ghost that likes to appear in the bar. Now, this one appears very normal, like just a solid human being, except they're dressed from the period that they come from, and they just basically walk on through.
I want to see that.
I want to see some. Now, this one, they described in some of the older rooms, there is a fat monk who right. passes through the walls and laughs. As he's going through them, I would too if I was going walking through a wall. I'd go, you can't do that. He has woken some of the guests up by accidentally bumping into people's beds. But the thought is he's happy now in the afterlife, but when he was alive, he wasn't so happy. And he actually, now what's the words we've got to use on social media and stuff? Unalived themselves in that room, and it's known as the haunted cell or the monk cell. Now, I did see some videos on this, and it looks like I don't know whether it used to be a confessional, but it's just a small wardrobe, really, but it's a built-in the brick little, you know, when you've got a room and
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I think we had one in New Orleans where it was a walk-in sort of wardrobe, not a big one. There was a travel writer from The Guardian that went and stayed at the George and Pilgrim. Sometimes they call it the Pilgrim and George, mm-hmm. I've noticed. And they woke up, the wife woke up in the middle of the night to find a tall, long-armed man standing at the foot of the bed, watching her intently.
Oh, that would just be horrifying.
That would be horrifying, particularly if you thought it might be a real person.
Oh.
So yeah. What she did is she made the sign of the cross. She crossed herself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mary, Jesus, Joseph, help me. And she reached out a hand then to touch it, and her hand passed right through it. And then she woke her husband up by screaming.
I'd be putting the sheet of protection
over my head. A sheet of protection. We have to get a T-shirt for that. I know every show we go, we have to get a T-shirt. I really want a sheet of protection T-shirt because nobody else has a sheet of protection.
No.
That's us that came up with that.
Oh, when I was a kid, it worked. I used to have the sheet of protection over my head a lot.
Oh. Now, there is – oh, I think by the time this comes out, I might have been in the That's Life magazine. Here in Australia, did a story on me because I'm far more interesting than other people. You've already
that
done
are sitting
one.
In the same room at the moment.
You've already done one. They were scraping the bottom of the barrel for me. All right. So there are tales like various managers and housekeepers all have sorts of tales as well. And this one is, I'll just read this one from the manager. It was late night after closing time. The place was locked up, the guests all in their rooms. A few of us were sitting quietly chatting. Suddenly the back door slammed. Footsteps came down the passage. We went to see who it was, but there was no one there and all the doors were still locked.
Oh, goody. That would be cool.
That would be very, very cool. Now, as we know with all haunted hotels, sometimes they have guests that don't last the night. There was one that checked out in the middle of the night because they saw a woman in modern clothes who just suddenly appeared in their room, complained about how cold it was, and then disappeared. Can you imagine that? A ghost from the past go, "Hey, you, I'm cold. Woo, gone."
Wow.
So, and that's modern. So that makes you wonder, was that somebody actually astral projecting maybe?
Oh, that's, yeah. Oh. Well, that's what they would have been. That, I mean, they would do that sort of stuff in Glastonbury as well.
There is another one here that said, and this is the quote from them, "I will call the phenomena he as it felt male.
Okay.
I felt a great pressure above me but not touching me." Now I'm going to ask you at the end of this, Renata, what you think this is.
Yes.
"It was large. And it was as if my life force was completely immobilized. I was paralyzed. I could not move a muscle, nor could I make a sound. I knew that I had to keep calm, as whatever it was wanted to cause me great distress. I asked him to please leave me alone. I also asked if I could help him go to the light. Then I was released. I thought I could help and prayed, but it was no use. I knew I had to leave the room as soon as possible. I was shaking. I started packing." So what just happened to them?
Sleep paralysis.
There, thank you very much. That was the old hag syndrome, where they've got the hypnagogic state, where they're just falling asleep and their brain sort of shuts everything down, and then they're supposed to shut down their arms and legs and things from moving, but their brain is still awake. They're not quite in the proper sleep state. Anyway, some have left immediately after checking in. They've gone into the room and gone, "Hell no, I'm out of there." A lot of them report ghostly creaking footsteps in the hallways at night, but it is a 700-year-old building. Oh, she's lost it.
I'm just thinking about our Steve from our volunteers.
What?
Who has issues with the showers.
The rapey shower curtains. Some of these, you know, the places that you go to stay and they don't have a glass shower wall or anything.
No, they've got it in the bath.
They've got that flimsy sort of shower curtain that as soon as you go near it, it's like a magnet and it sticks to your body and then it tries to wrap you up and kill you.
Yes, one of those.
Yes, poor cousin Steve, he doesn't like them. I don't blame him. So what else have I got here? Now, there is another one, another story, a woman in white. This one, I went outside. Oh, this right. This is the story from the person who wrote this article, who stayed there. And they're recalling the times that they'd stayed there many years ago and the good time they had. And they've come back to try and stay again.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to leave one night earlier than expected. So they'd gone out the back door on the final night to have a bit of a smoke, and there was, you know, most of the pub was shut down, a few little lights here and there. And at that stage, they really hadn't had much of an experience there at all, apart from the footsteps and the creakings and things like that, which could be anything. You just don't know.
Yes.
And they looked sort of staring off into the distance as you do, and saw a woman in a white dress pass from the door to the cellar, across the hall and into the dining room. At first they thought that they were very beautiful with long white hair, and then they realized that the entire figure had been the same shade of white.
Oh.
Everything was white.
Wow.
They turned around to make sure that there was no reflection, there wasn't lights going past, there was nobody else there. They went inside the dining room and it was all empty. So they've gone to this haunted hotel to have an experience. Nothing's happened. And then, you know, when they've tried to investigate and that sort of thing, but when they've just stood around daydreaming, mm-hmm. and that makes me wonder if your head goes into that space of meditative that you are able to see. They've had an experience. That, yeah. Now we're going on to impurespirit.com. This one came from. Now, this one reports of a ghost, which was a monk, which was seen back in the 1970s. Apparently, it sat on the bed of a guest and talked about Queen Elizabeth.
Oh.
I wonder what they had to say.
Wow.
But this is a good one. There is another reported ghost there, and it's a ghost that we've come across before. At the Skirrid Inn.
Yes, the hanging judge.
The hanging judge, George Jeffreys, is supposed to hang around. Ha, 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 ha.
He gets around.
He does. But why? It's like the Skirrid Inn. Why would they hang around there? I don't know. They don't really say much there about why he would be there, but they just say he is.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I've got more. You ready for more?
Yes.
Oh, now, this one comes from another article, Spooky Isles. We love Spooky Isles. Apparently, a lot of the town residents will not step foot inside this pub, and they're all supposed to be spiritual mediums and that sort of thing, so you can understand why they might feel that it's a darker energy for them to mm-hmm. walk into that. A lot mm-hmm. of spiritual mediums and things don't like to hang out with the lower vibrational energies.
No, that's correct, yes.
So this was, they were telling the lady who went there, Michaela, some of the stories. And this was the landlady was drinking a pint of water, I'm sure, in the bar area by themselves and moved away from the glass for a moment. And when she came back, she found two screws sitting inside the bottom of her glass.
Oh.
Now, I want you to remember this because okay. something about related to this is going to pop up later okay. if I remember to tell you.
Two screws sitting
in the bottom of her glass. And she said that there was nobody else there living that could have done that without her being aware of them being there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was another one. One of the barmen said that one day he saw a woman walk in through the bar with a dog. He followed her with plans to advise her that dogs were not allowed on the premises. When he did catch up with her, she didn't have a dog. And she said, oh, no, I have spirit dogs that follow me.
Oh.
So he actually saw a spirit dog.
Oh.
Isn't that cool?
That's a beautiful story.
Yeah, I've actually got goosebumps on that one. It took that to get a goosebump out of me. Now, the same person, the bartender, when he goes down into the cellar area, he likes to say hello to whatever the presence is there because mm-hmm. he feels like he's entering their territory and it's only polite. And mm-hmm. we do that as well. We always say hello when we go into like the residence or wherever we're heading to. One day he forgot to do the hello and he heard someone go in his ear because he had forgotten
to say hello.
Then it comes up with, again, the bricking up of the monk for possibly having an affair. Right, we have one of the rooms. Now, this is the monk's cell, room one. They've heard harp music from that room. And one of the other ones demanded to have a different room because the bed sheets were ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
So, changing the sheets for you. I like it. The landlady that was there had seen at one time in her private quarters. Sorry. Her and her son were aghast to see her cardigan, which had been strewn across a chair, suddenly rise up of its own accord.
Mm.
A levitating cardi. Oh, there's a T-shirt in that too, I'm sure. Now, we have another article here by Patrick Jegen.me. I don't know what that is. Oh, might be Patrick J. Egan. Oh, I'm just losing it. All right. So the hotel reportedly has several cats. a dog or two, a child, a man, a woman, monks. Now, this is where we come to the story I said before. The woman who registered us, signed them into the hotel, said she was in room one cleaning when a screw was thrown at her.
Oh, there's the screws again.
The screws are getting around in there. Cause of mischief. She had no explanation, poor thing. Now, the cook apparently saw a short person or a form of a short person along the wall of another room.
Mm-hmm.
Later they said that a child used to haunt that room. So there's your
mm-hmm.
children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they talk about the monk cell. Then they said that just across in the narrow hallway was a room that was known as the nun's cell.
Oh, the nun's cell.
Oh.
I find that hard to believe.
So do I.
I'm sorry. That would never happen.
No, that would not ever happen. not openly anyway. All right. And I've got to find the next page. My pages are stuck together. Renata, what you been doing with them? Now, this is where I found something really interesting. This came from s-p-i.co.uk. This reading was taken when Jeff and Karen first stayed at the hotel before the investigation was set up. Also, they had no knowledge of any of information beforehand. So this is a reading of what these people picked up energetically.
Mm-hmm.
My partner and myself stayed overnight in room two. We investigated also the monk cell. My findings so far. The first night, my partner woke up to see a monk standing at my side, just looking down at me and then vanish. I was also given James the First, Charles the First, and 1600s. So she's just spitting out words and things. That evening, we made contact with a high-ranking monk with status because, you know, they're only going to get the high-ranking ones. They won't get the plebs.
They won't get the ones that dug the holes?
No. His name is William. He was a good man with a real heart. At that point, I heard the words Francis of Assisi.
Oh.
We later looked this up, and he is a saint that helped the poor, and this is how William was. He appears in the hotel as a protector, not to scare or harm. William had a privileged upbringing, a family with wealth, so he was well educated and could speak several languages. He had a terrible ending. He was in love with a nun.
Okay.
And was going to leave the order to be with her, but it was kept secret. The headless nun that has been seen. I've never seen a reference to a headless nun in any other story.
No.
They were virgins. So they committed no sins.
I find that hard to believe even more.
They might have got up to a bit of handiwork, so to speak, but there was no penetration.
No.
He's been spotted by two of his understudies, and this was reported to another monk higher up the chain. Monk is dressed in black that does wander, as in wonderful, instead of wander with an A, the hotel, and is on the darker side and hides in the shadows.
Oh, what a lot of crap.
I think they've had one gin too many. He was an inquisitor for the church. His name is Joseph, and he signed the warrant for William's death. He had short silver hair and was around his 50s, a very quick mind. He was a strong man and a manipulator. He interferes with people's dreams. God, this is such a gifted, special person. William was held for a brief time in the monk cell was used as a holding room and as a sick bay. Multi-purpose room. I like that.
Wow.
It's like Harry Potter's room of whatever it was. He was led away to face an inquiry via the tunnel. He was met by another man coming towards him that chopped at his left shoulder with a heavy blade, followed by a guard behind him that cut across the leg muscles and tendons to prevent him from moving. He was raped.
Hold on. Those tunnels are 3 feet high.
Yes. Yes. and that he was also raped.
Oh, okay.
This is an act to make him unclean for the afterlife, so the fear of shame is now in place. He was murdered and his body was left there to rot, so he wasn't walled up. My partner picked up on the bones and his remains in that tunnel. The nun was called Eleanor. Her fate was also sealed. I think she'd been reading too much Mills and Boone. She was held for a very short time and was beaten near to death, then was placed in a hangman's noose and dropped while still semi-conscious. Later that evening, we heard the sound of a horse being led past the reception area toward the back. You have a large vortex. A vortex. That's different to a vortex. It's yep. special. In the downstairs. Oh, they've got a downstairs vortex. I always find the good reports, don't I? All right.
Oh, how much digging did you do?
I went to at least page 10. So in the downstairs front part of the... I've got to read this. You have a large vortex in the downstairs front part of the coming from the fireplace with the portal. I don't even want to know. You asked if we could go to the conference room upstairs. This we did before leaving, and this is the findings. A young female child of about 7 or 8, I believe her name is Claire, 1960 or 1968. She ran out of the entrance and was run down. She was hit to the head, but did not die straight away. She died 3 months later of pleurisy of the lungs. She is in visitation only. She spent a lot of time there with her parents and was, and still is, very happy. A man passed away at the head of a table in his late 50s of a heart attack, very sudden and final. Small dog came through, Jack Russell in size. A gentleman passed away in his seat drinking a pint. He was old at the time. He passed away at the front of the bar as you walk through the first entrance, first left wearing an old trilby hat. One attempted suicide and one suicide in the hotel, not sure where. Also a few heart attacks in the beds. They might have got a bit rowdy.
Throw those in for good measure, just in case.
A blacksmith, smithy in the kitchens, wearing a leather apron. Sometimes you may smell a hint of coal.
Oh, God.
Oh, hi, John. I hope all this information has been of help. We had a lovely stay, so thank you to you and your staff. I would still like to do a full paranormal investigation with my team.
Yeah, no.
Details we can discuss soon. I'll send you some pictures of orbs taken out. Oh, no.
Oh, so dear.
Can you see the stories that were in this psychic's findings, mm-hmm. which have now become the legend and the lore mm-hmm. of the Georgian pilgrim?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So again... Yeah. These stories have been created by one person.
Yeah. And when did they visit, though?
I don't know.
Because some of the stories, even though they said they didn't know anything, follow a sort of a storyline that already exists.
Oh, well, a trope. Yeah. It's a trope. Now, this one you are going to find really interesting. This is from the same... article that I got the information from. Two of ghosts, I wish I'd learned to get all their English in, are referred to by Guy Leon Playfair mm-hmm. in The Haunted Pub Guide, 1985.
Yes, I did read about this.
Yeah, one not surprisingly is a monk. Early in the 1970s, woman guest described him in the usual detail, having seen him for what she reckoned to be 10 to 15 minutes.
Wow, that's huge.
At one point, the monk sat down on the guest bed. She felt the sheets and blankets tighten over her as she did so. He was not alone. Hovering in the background were two distinct shapes that remained in a sort of vapor, as she told the proprietor soon after the event. The second sighting was even more interesting in September 1976, a Canadian couple. They came to stay for the night. They were in room 7. and fell asleep. She dreamed quite normal dream about a sister back in Canada. Then she awoke suddenly on hearing three footsteps, looked up to see a bright, arched, glimmering light at the end of her husband's bed. Out of this light there emerged a man. He was tall, slender, and grinning at me. Now, this sounds a little bit like the other story, but there's a variant because he had long arms.
Mm-hmm.
He was wearing a blue sports coat, the kind worn by elderly Englishmen on Sunday picnics, and he remained visible, grinning all the while and still surrounded by a halo of light. At that, Mrs. McCormack, the lady who was witnessing all this, jumped out of bed and woke up a husband, and the ghost disappeared.
Yeah, wow.
So we got a lot of information on here. I'm just going to skip over a few bits. There's another report there of some orbs, so I'm not going to bother. There is the monk and the falling in love. How about some reviews? Would you like a review?
Yeah.
Now, the soundscape tonight was a review from TripAdvisor. That was, I've got the bit of paper here. That was actually from 2005. So it was, see, I did my research. And that, they don't tell me who it was. Never mind. I have one here. Haunted. This is from October 2006. Stayed at the hotel with a friend whilst travelling through Somerset, Wiltshire and Dorset. The hotel itself was very nice, if you like the Gothic style. Room was clean and had a nice bathroom. However, the service we received was the worst I've experienced in my entire life. It all climaxed in the manageress barging into the room at 2 a.m. with a master key threatening to throw us out while I was getting changed into my pyjamas.
Oh, wow.
Apparently there was noise coming from our room. Well, they say the place is haunted. It must be because both my friend and I were as quiet as mice and didn't even have the telly or anything on. Haunted hotel? Yes, by totally incapable manageress with a severe lack of breeding.
Oh, wow.
But the fact that they were in,
yes,
and getting changed, and that was 2 a.m, they must have been making some noise. What were they doing up at 2 a.m? Glastonbury shuts down at like 6 p.m. You're lucky if you can find food.
Yeah, but look, we have done investigations where we have heard furniture moving upstairs.
Yes, this is true.
And we have gone up to ask what in the hell has gone on, and they have said, we're just sitting here doing nothing.
Yeah.
So were they hearing residual noise, and that is why they were saying that all this was going on and made a complaint?
Look, there's some other stories there, but we've already gone over an hour, so I think we need to wrap it up. Renata?
Yes.
Yes. Regardless of the stories and seem to be manufactured by a psychic, I've been there and I don't get the irky vibey things, and I got the irky vibey things in that place. There is stuff going on there, I'm sure.
Yeah. My friend, the other travel buddy, Gail. Hello, Gail. She stayed overnight there.
Oh, you actually got her to stay there?
She did. It was she was already living in England at that point in time, so she stayed there. I can't remember whether she had – I think she had pretty yucky vibes about actually staying the night there, sleeping there. But she wanted to experience a place because it is so old.
Yeah.
And at that stage it was quite expensive, like it was this time. We decided not to stay there because of the expense.
I think we did have a room booked there, but we ended up picking up 2 extra travel companions, and then it became too expensive.
Yeah.
So you found a bargain somewhere else, which we're very happy about.
But I hope we get an opportunity to. We will definitely go in for a drink, but I hope we do get an opportunity actually have a look at some of the places there. We'll take some photos for you for sure.
Now, I just got to give a quick shout out to Nana Bo, Emma Hoy, Tracy Ann, Micah S. Thank you so much for sending us some coffees. We really, really super appreciate it. Also, thank you to all our Grand Poobahs and our Parastalkers and the Paralurkers of our Patreon community. It's you guys that keep us going and recording the True Hauntings podcast. If you'd like to help us out, there is links down below. We do not get paid to do this. It's a little bit of advertising that we get a small amount of money from you listening to it. But if you want to support our work and just buy us a cup of coffee or buy me a coffee, Anne and Renata, or look up Patreon, Anne and Renata Frightfully Good. And throw us a buck or two for a cuppa. That would be very much appreciated. Renata.
Yeah. It's that time.
We say goodbye. Thanks for listening, guys. I hope you've enjoyed it. We do.
We do love you.
Yeah, share us around. You know the deal. Yeah. We'll be back in a fortnight with another story for you. But in the meantime, be frightfully good.
Stay spooky.
See you on the dark side.
And
don't be a dickhead. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of True Hauntings. If you like the show, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. For more on Anne and Renata, follow at Anne and Renata on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or visit their website, www.anneandrenata.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.